For our ancestors, the hunter-gatherer ones, community meant survival. The tribe was life. It was connection. It was trust, love, protection. Your ancestor, on average, would have had a total lifetime social circle of fewer than 100 people. Today, the average social media user has virtual contact with many times that number every single day. And yet, more than 60% of our population across generational and geographic boundaries report feeling lonely and isolated. And the most interconnected generation in history, in a stroke of irony, is also the most starved for true human connection. The human brain is an organ of connection. Every adaptation, every facet of your mental health is built to respond to interaction with your tribe, to socialize, to engage, and to converse. So what happens to this same brain when social paradigms shift more and more towards isolation? Let's first look at a sample day, not a particularly special one. You wake up, maybe good morning to your immediate family or whoever you share your home with. Then it's a commute surrounded by fellow commuters. Then you're at the office, talking to coworkers, maybe talking to clients, maybe a night out, a few friends, then home, and unwind. Then it's time for bed. And then you do it all over again. A working-aged person on average connects in person with at least 20 to 25 people per day. It turns out that as rates of working from home increase and people spend more time alone, levels of depression are on the rise. What then is missing? Social media use was tied to loneliness as well, with 73% of very heavy social media users considered lonely, as compared to just 52% of lighter users. And the social interaction that does happen online doesn't seem to be particularly healthy or natural. According to a recent study, the simple act of accruing likes on social media causes, quote, activation in brain circuitry implicated in reward, including the striatum and ventral tegmental area, end quote. In other words, a random click on the other side of the world can jolt the same areas of your brain that are stimulated by in-person approval. And a simple thumbs up emoji can cause the brain to release dopamine. It's important to understand the exceptional impact that these new online social platforms can have on the pleasure centers of our brains. It's imperative that we begin to examine them with the same seriousness as other brain-affecting activities. Think about gambling or compulsive shopping or other repetitive, not-so-healthy behaviors. What are these online algorithms replacing for us? And what risks do we see presenting when the brain is starved of what it's really actually craving? Real human connection. Scientists conducted a study measuring the link between mental well-being, face-to-face interaction, and digital communication. Over a five-day period, participants completed a daily diary checklist at the end of each day and reported on their social interactions, the quality and the quantity of them, and also on their self-esteem for that day. Not surprisingly, findings suggest that only high-quality, face-to-face interactions are associated with longer-lasting gains to psychological well-being. All to say, the research suggests that while social media relationships may help facilitate some aspects of our mental health, when we neglect our in-person, face-to-face relationships, our mental health suffers. The risks associated with a lack of in-person, direct human connection are neither ethereal nor simply abstract. In numerous studies, people who exhibit traits of loneliness show markedly higher levels of both depression and anxiety. And individuals with more loneliness are at a 50% higher risk of developing dementia. And, quote, social isolation significantly increases a person's risk of premature death from all causes, a risk that may rival those of smoking, obesity, and physical inactivity. Folks, that's the health effect of loneliness. Studies and polls show that 1 in 4 Americans has exactly 0 friends that they feel capable of confiding in. And that's on the rise. Fostering human connection, deepening our human connections, expanding the group of people that we trust and confide in is one of the fundamental tenets of building your mental fitness. It's one of the ways that I know in my clinical practice that patients are getting better. Remember how we said earlier that your human brain is an organ of connection? Well, that's really fundamentally how I feel I know your brain is working at its best when I see you making more real, genuine, face-to-face human connections. In the year leading up to this recording, the percentage of the population working remotely increased to above 43% for the first time ever. Every social structure built around community interaction is decreasing. The very constructs by which we have been naturally social are getting reimagined and reconfigured as we try to understand a new modern digital lifestyle. So much of that is exciting and compelling and opening up new avenues for all of us to have more human interaction. But what we must also pay attention to is how these new social structures may also be decreasing the very type of human interaction that we all need and crave. So, what can we do here? Is there even an adjustment that we can make? While society continues to adjust and change, there are some things that you can begin instituting in daily life that will have a tremendous impact on your feelings of social connectedness. Oftentimes, when I meet people, they're struggling with symptoms of depression and anxiety, and socializing is incredibly challenging. So, on a micro level, let's start talking about some of the ways that you can increase connections in your life. Like anything, I really like to start with a diagnosis or assessment. Who are the people in your life? Sometimes just having a list of the folks who either you've been really close to and you need to improve that relationship, or a list of people that you really can confide in, gives us a notion that we're not as alone as maybe we sometimes feel. But beyond the connections we have or don't have in our life, building your mental fitness and improving your mental health means throughout our lives, continuing to pay attention to the connections that really matter and fostering more of those. Some of the techniques that I use in my practice is starting to create a framework to help them build social connections. Oftentimes, simple things like joining a sports league or finding a book club. Maybe it's connecting with more coworkers or people who you already have some connection with, but sense there could be more. Oftentimes I'll help people in their dating life, working to kind of de-emphasize the pressure that so often people feel in dating to find the one, that perfect partner, and to think about more as making connections. Maybe you won't find your perfect partner on that next Tinder date, but you could make a powerful and meaningful human connection. It's often one of the skills that I like to help patients foster and grow. How can they do a better job as a communicator and as a listener in fostering connection? How can they deepen relationships in their own lives? So often, it is quite strange and paradoxical that we're surrounded by people who love us, but we really haven't worked on deepening and improving those human connections. Connection in regards to mental fitness is necessary, not discretionary, even for those of us who identify a little bit as introverts. your brain is constantly reaching out for connection. And by prioritizing the need for socialization, by prioritizing your need for socialization, you can create a better context for mental health and a better overall quality of life.
Let's review some important points from this module. For our ancestors, community was everything. Tribe was survival, trust, love, and connection. Modern life has drastically changed, and sadly, 60% of people across the world report feeling lonely and isolated. We are the most interconnected we've ever been, yet we're the most starved for true human connection. Your brain is an organ of connection, so as our social paradigm shifts more and more towards isolation, it's no wonder that rates of loneliness, depression, and anxiety are on the rise. New digital social platforms have taken the place of true in-person connection, but for the sake of our collective mental health, we need to continue to nourish our real in-person relationships and communities. While digital relationships can be helpful in many ways, our brains evolved to thrive on in-person interactions, so it makes intuitive sense that they are critical for helping us feel our best. The data is clear about the risks of social isolation. Loneliness has a real and significant impact on both our physical and mental health. Simple, small steps to foster more connections yield meaningful results as your brain is craving true human interaction. Steps I've seen work for my patients are often simple. Make a list of close relationships to focus energy on, or create a framework for more socializing, like joining a sports league or getting involved in a spiritual group or a nonprofit. I hope one major result of this course for you is to inspire work to deepen and strengthen your human connections. Be sure to review the resources in this module for more ideas on making meaningful connections in your life.